to have you here. Many of you I know from the past, and we're so thankful that you've come our way. This morning we're going to be dealing with, as has already been mentioned, the problem of time. This is the fifth lesson in a series dealing with problems that Christians face. And when you talk about the problem of time, I mentioned this morning in our Bible study, the biggest problem of all is that there's simply not enough of it. So we need more of it, I suppose. And I don't know really how you do that, since time is, well, what we have is what we get. That's all there is to it. And we have to make the best use of our time that we possibly can. We cannot stretch it. We cannot make it go any further than it is. Each one of us, and you know what? I don't care whether you're Tiger Woods, President Bush, whether you're Bill Gates, doesn't make any difference. Guess what? Everybody has the same amount of time each day. Each day. Same amount of time. What do we do with it? That's the question. Time is certainly a problem that we have to deal with. Many live overcommitted, out of balance, and out of control lives. How many of us here can honestly say, and you can raise your hand if you would like, you can honestly say that you use your time as effectively as you possibly could? Raise your hand if you can do that. If you do that. Many of us fail on a daily basis to properly utilize our time. And much of it is because we are overcommitted. You know, again, we only have so much time in a day. So what we try to do is we try to get as many things in that day as we possibly can. There's nothing wrong with that, but we do have to think about the importance of prioritizing how we utilize our time. And if you're like me, you have a problem of saying no. When somebody asks, you know, can you help me do this? Can you do this? Can you do that? Sure I can. Wait a minute, then I have to go back and I have to figure out when in the world am I going to do it? We commit ourselves to tasks that we really don't have time for sometimes. And we get out of balance in that we shift too much of our time to areas that they should not be concerned with, that we should not be concerned with. And thus it's easy to get out of control in our lives. And by doing so, we destroy various relationships, the relationship with our children. You know, parents, young couples, thinking about having children, you listen very carefully to this. Listen very carefully. The time that you have with your children while they are with you, you can never, ever get back. You spend that time with them wisely. You bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You take time with your children, not just going hunting, camping, things like that, shopping, but you spend time with your children teaching them about God, about the Word of God. Our relationship with our children can easily be wasted and destroyed. Our relationship with our spouse. You know, we need to spend time with our spouses. And our body. We can easily forget to spend time. We talked this morning about bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, but it does profit a little. And we do need to think about our body, think about what we eat, think about what we do, where we go, how we spend our time. Because that will, in fact, affect our body, our spiritual life. Most importantly, we need to spend time each and every day studying and practicing what the Word of God teaches us. Our spiritual life, this is the most important aspect of our life. And many of us, we live our lives so hectic, so out of balance, that we are destroying our spiritual life. How many elders are lost to the failure of properly using time? How many deacons are lost to the idol of selfishness because we want to serve ourselves and do things, and in effect we lose our spiritual well-being? C.S. Lewis once said, all, and misspelled all there, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. Now that's a good quote. All that is not eternal is eternally useless. And how much of our time and how much of our energy is consumed focusing on temporal things? You know, you may be a successful businessman. You may be very popular. with people at work. You may be very popular in the community. You may be prestigious, in fact. People may look up to you and think you're someone great and powerful. Because you spend all of your time focusing on pleasing people and pleasing your boss. And chasing that cheese at the end of the race. But yet, when you do that, does that affect you in any way, negatively? What about being a husband or wife? Or what about being a father or mother? And what about being a Christian? Are we sacrificing the most important things to us on the altar of selfishness and fulfilling our selfish desires with the time that we have? Jesus says in Matthew 13 and verse 23, "Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." We spend our time doing other things besides building up our spiritual well-being. Building up and strengthening our relationships with God and our fellow man. We spend too much time in things of the world. In Matthew 16 and verse 26, "For what profit is it? If a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Man will give up a lot of things for his soul. Or he give up his soul for a lot of things, right? Man will seek that which is temporary too often. You know, the Bible clearly teaches that we are stewards of our time. In John the 9th chapter, verse 24. Jesus said that he must work while it is day, for the night is coming in which no man can work. We must work while we have the opportunity. While it is day, we need to be working. Colossians 4 and verse 5. You know, we need to be walking wisely, with wisdom, with those who are outside, those who are not Christians. We need to be living our lives in such a way that we glorify God. And the Apostle Paul says in that passage, redeeming the time. We redeem or buy back the time. Make the proper use of our time when we live for God in front of other people. We are stewards of the time that we've been given. You know, time is limited. In Job, the 14th chapter, Job chapter 14 and verse 1, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." What's Job saying? Job is saying that time, life here on this earth, is temporary. Time is going to come to an end for you on this earth. In verse 2 he says, "He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue." Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, and verses 1 and 2, verse 12. You know, the whole idea and the concept. Friend, I'll tell you right now, and that should be 90. Psalms 90 and verses 10 and verse 12. "The days of our lives are as 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, and it soon is cut off and we fly away." Look at verse 12. "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." We need to think about that. Time cannot be suspended and drawn out indefinitely. We have to live within the time frame that we have. We cannot suspend or control time. Time can be wasted. There's little doubt. I'm assured of this. There's little doubt with most of us that time can be wasted. The question is, do we waste it? How easy is it to waste time? How fleeting is it? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul talks about that some learn to be idle. And by learning to be idle, of course, they turn into, as the old saying says, idle minds the devil's workshop. You know, we need to realize that as we live in this world, we need to be busy serving the Lord. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. We need to be busy with our time, doing the things that are productive, not counterproductive. And time certainly can be redeemed. Going back up to Colossians 4 and verse 5 and Ephesians 5 and verse 16, we are to redeem the time. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Walking circumspectly, Paul says. We redeem the time and we buy it back. We'll make the proper use of it. Now this morning I want to talk about three chapters of time and how do we deal with the time that we have. I want to look at the past for a little bit, and I want to talk about the past. And then we're going to talk about the present. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the future this morning. And how do we as Christians live in regard to our past, to our present, and to our future? How should we live as Christians? First of all, it is important that we deal properly with the past. How do we deal with it as Christians? You know, the Bible says that we are to remember certain things. Now, I know the Apostle Paul says forgetting those things which are behind. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there are things that we must remember as well. In Philippians, in the first chapter. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 3 with me. What does the Apostle Paul say? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Associations, friendships, relationships that have been established in the past. Friend, you know what? We need to be thankful for those, and we need to remember those relationships. We need to cherish those relationships. We need to remember who our friends are. We need to remember those things in Ephesians. In the second chapter, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 11, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in flesh by hands, that at that time, verse 12 says, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know what else you need to remember? Besides just your friends and your relationships and some of the good times that you've had with them, you need to remember where you came from. It'll keep you humble. Remember, we're all sinners and we've all been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. We need to know where we came from. Not allow that to drag us down, but we do need to keep that in our mind. We need to learn from history. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, the children of Israel, they were saved from the bondage of sin. They were delivered through the Red Sea. But many of them fell in the wilderness. And the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, exhorted the Corinthian brethren and us as well to remember that they were saved, they were delivered, but they fell. Learn from their example. In fact, there are two times in that text, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. These were our examples, Paul says. In Romans 15 and verse 4, these things were written for your admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. We are to remember those things that have gone on before. Learn from history. You know, we have in our educational system, you know, the importance, the stress is placed on arithmetic and English and science. Why do we not put enough emphasis on history? I don't know. I think it is more important to understand facts of history than, in fact, some of the things that are taught in science classes today. It's important to know where we've been. And we need to learn from history. Because those who are ignorant of history are what? Destined to repeat it. We need to know. Learning from past lessons. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Paul said, I was with you and I told you these things. Remember, don't you remember what I said? We need to remember what we've been taught. The truth. We need to remember the truth. Too many forget it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul talks about how Timothy had been taught faith from his mother and grandmother. His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And that he had learned the things of God from a child. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 through 15, the Apostle Peter continually reminded the brethren of certain things. So we need to learn from our past lessons and remember them. Too many. They learn the truth, and what do? They forget it. They go off to college, and they forget what they've been taught. They start a family, and they get busy, and they get into the workforce, and what do? They forget what they've been taught. Too many young people forget where they came from. We need to learn from past lessons. We need to learn. Remember the truth that we've been taught. Learning from personal experiences. In the Hebrew letter, the Hebrew writer, the Apostle Paul, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, makes this point. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Remember your past experiences. Why? Because those experiences can help us. Knowing where we've been, knowing what we've went through, knowing how God has been there for us in the past, He will be there for us in the future. We can learn from past personal experiences. But at the same time, there are things we need to forget. Philippians 3 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul there says, forgetting those things which are behind, we need to strive forward to that which is ahead. We need to forget certain things. In Luke, in the 9th chapter, Luke 9 and verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what? All of your past accomplishments, all of your past credits, everything that you have done in the past, you know what? You cannot allow those to hold you back, friend. If you do, you will allow them to destroy you. We need to forget the past. We can't live in the past. We cannot dwell on the past. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 10, you know, the wise man made the point in this text that it is not wise to live in the past. Those who do that, he says, are not wise. We cannot allow past decisions, mistakes, failures, tragedies, and sins to keep us from serving our God in the future. And too many allow and have allowed mistakes, tragedies, sins. They've allowed those things to destroy them. The Apostle Paul in Acts 26, verses 10 through 12. Of all the people who had regret, I tell you what, the Apostle Paul had regrets. No doubt about that. Think about all the Christians that he caused to lose their life. Think about all the Christians that he had persecuted, that he had beaten, thrown into prison. And after he obeyed the gospel, don't you know he had regrets? But you know what? That's why he said, forgetting those things which are behind. You cannot allow those things, those past failures and past sins, to hold you back. You must go on and serve the Lord. Galatians 1 and verse 13. And many other passages, the Apostle Paul talked about himself as being the chief of sinners. But he didn't allow that to hold him back. In fact, he used that to motivate him to greater service. And we need to use our past failures to motivate us to greater service. He didn't forget them and totally block them out of his mind. He did not allow them to hold him back, though. He put them in the past where they need to be. Nor can we rest on our past accomplishments, Hebrews 6 and verse 1. We may learn, we may know very well the fundamentals of Christianity, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. If we do not grow, if we do not continue to advance in our knowledge and understanding of the Word of God and truth, I want to tell you something. We'll even forget the basic fundamentals. We will go backwards instead of forwards. We will retrogress instead of progress. Now, what about the present? Now, how many passages deal with today and the importance of today? Joshua 24 and verse 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day. You know what? You have a choice to make today. You may have had this same choice yesterday and the day before and the day before. But you know what? You've got it today. All of us, as far as that goes, we have the choice today. Are we going to serve the Lord or not? We're a people of choice. God has created us as free moral agents. We can choose. You can choose today to follow the Lord, and you can choose today not to follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to make that choice. What about you? Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews 3:7. Today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today is the day of salvation. Today is all that you have. Yesterday is in the past. Today is what you have. Tomorrow is in the future. You don't know whether you have tomorrow or not. You do not know what shall be on the morrow, James 4 and verses 13 and 14. You have today. So let us exhort one another while it is called today, Hebrews 8 and verse 13. Let us be busy working today while we have opportunity today. Let us use it wisely. We must deal correctly, wisely with the present. There are several ways that we can be guilty of wasting time today. We can spend it in unwholesome recreation. Unwholesome recreation is something that we need to put aside. Now, wait a minute. What about wholesome recreation? Is there anything wrong with wholesome recreation? If it prevents me from doing something that God has instructed me to do, or if I choose to recreate instead of fulfilling a responsibility that's come along, then, friend, I've done something that's wrong. Unwholesome recreation doesn't necessarily have to be something that is sinful, but rather it can become sin when I misuse it. Anything that is wrong, no matter what. But some things that are even right can become wrong by my misuse of those things. Unimportant studies in Acts chapter 17, verse 21. You know, the Athenians, they spent their time doing nothing but looking for something new. And we have brethren like that today. They're always looking for something new. They're not satisfied with what the Bible says. We've got to find something else. We've got to find some other way to do this or do that. We try to fix what ain't broke. We're just not satisfied with what we have. And so we're always looking for something else. The Athenians, they were always looking for something new. Being a busybody, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Therefore we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. That's a waste of time. Useless arguments, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. All arguments are not useless. As long as people are searching for the truth, let us discuss, let us debate, let us do the things that we need to do to come to an understanding of the truth. But you know what? When people throw their hands up and they say, I'm not interested in the truth anymore, you're wasting your time dealing with those people. Holding a grudge, Ephesians 4 and verse 31. We can allow bitterness to overcome us and destroy us. Dwelling on past mistakes, Hebrews 8 and verse 12. We can allow the things in the past to come back and destroy us, and we can allow that to consume our time, consume our thoughts. And we need to realize that those things are not profitable. You know what? The Lord says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You know, it's hard to forgive ourselves. It is hard to forgive ourselves, and we need to practice forgiveness, not only for those who have wronged us, but we need to practice forgiveness for ourselves too. Accept the forgiveness of God and move on. We can worry about the future. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. We can be disorganized. And I'm going to plead the fifth on this one. I am not the most organized person in the world. I never have been, and I think sometimes that my early profession caused me to develop bad habits in organization. I was in construction work for, as you know, for 17 years. And this never failed. I mean, I would organize myself. I'd have my day planned out. How many times in my life have I had a day planned out and all the things planned out for everything to take place as they were supposed to, and within the first 30 minutes of the work day, the whole day is shot? That happened every day. That's the way it was. Working with other people in construction business, you don't work with the highest character of people in construction anyway. You can't depend upon your subcontractors. You cannot depend upon the business for the building supply place to deliver the materials on time. You cannot depend on anybody else. So I got into bad habits. You know, just going with the flow. I did that. And I'm still fighting through that. But you know, we can waste a lot of time by simply being disorganized. We need to plan and budget our time. And of course, the biggest danger is being lazy. Proverbs 6, verses 9 to 11. What will happen to the lazy man? How many passages in the book of Proverbs talks about the ruin of the lazy man? His life will come to ruin, I promise. Being lazy certainly destroys and wastes time. Well, what about fixing some of these problems? What can we do to fix them? First of all, step number one, we need to recognize the need. Time is at a premium for all of us. It's limited, so we only have a certain amount of it. We need to learn how to use it wisely. So in order to properly use our time wisely, we must have to recognize the need to use our time wisely. If we fail to do that, we will not use our time wisely. We need to examine our current habits. We need to check out how we really spend our time. We need to keep a log of how we spend our time. And there's a website that I went to where you just check a little box. And what it did is it told you, you have 24 hours in a day. How many hours do you spend at work a day? Let's say that you're one of the lucky ones and you spend 8 hours a day at work. And that's lucky. Most people spend 10 to 12. Let's say you spend 8 hours a day at work. And let's say that you spend 8 hours a day sleeping. All right, there's 16 right there. Oh, where does all the other time go to? How much time do you spend with your family? How much time do you spend with your children? How much time do you spend reading the Bible? No, when you really get down and you look at it, those other 8 hours, they are used up rather quickly. You need to stop and evaluate how you use your time each day. Decide priorities. The story of the big rocks first. The professor who had the big jar on his desk. And he had rocks, he had sand, he had water, he had pebbles. And of course, to skip all the story, just get to the end. The story is simply this. You put your big rocks in first. Then your smaller pebbles. Then your sand, then your water. And you can get all of it in the jar. You can get it all in there. Big rocks first, friend. Big rocks first. Put the most important things in life at the head of the list. You get those things done every day. The Lord, family and friends, those are big rocks. Big rocks. And they need to be taken care of every day. We need to decide what our priorities are. And concentrate on those things and fulfill those things. Get those things done. Make a list, if you will, and get those big things done first. Budget your time. We budget our finances. We only have so much time. We only have so much money. Budget your time. Time is easily wasted when we fail to budget. And overcome procrastination. Don't put things off till tomorrow. Let's get things done. And the only way to get things done is to do it. When you think about it, do it. Make a list and follow the list. Again, I really feel like a hypocrite up here talking about that. But I need to learn too, so there it is. I'm going to do my best to follow. Now, we need to be aware of the danger of letting time be wasted in our life. And we need to budget our time because it is limited. So let's prioritize. Time is a valuable commodity. Let's put God first. Let's put God first. Let's worship God. Let's put that first. Our spiritual growth, let's put that first. Our reading and studying God's Word, that comes first. Our family, our parents need to parent. Our husbands need to be husbands. Our wives need to be wives. Our children need to be submissive and be children. We need to play our prospective roles correctly and fulfill the needs of our spouses and our children and our parents. Family comes way up on the list. And work. Our work, friend, needs to be a means to an end, not the end itself. Our work, yes, is important. The Lord tells us that if a man doesn't work, neither let him eat. So we must work so we can take care of our family, so that we can take care of others. We must work. But work must be a means to an end, and too many have made work the end. Rest and renewal. Now some get the idea when you start talking about spending time wisely. Some get the idea that there is no place then for rest and renewal. We make a big mistake when we leave this out of our budgeting of time. Because, friend, let me tell you something. Human beings are not made to run 24 hours a day straight. Jesus, what did He do? Often went up and prayed. You know, rest and renewal should not be for the purpose of just not doing anything. Rest and renewal is a period of time to rejuvenate, to rest, refocus, and get back to work. But it must be done. Burnout is a reality. We need to be careful about that. And we need to start practicing these steps today. Develop good time management habits. It takes doing things to get into the habit and the routine of doing them. And so we have to start. And we have to start today. And it's important. Now, if we put all of our rocks in the proper place, we fulfill our responsibilities, and we go through our prioritized list, and we're getting things accomplished, then we're serving God and we're pleasing to Him. But we need to make sure that we're doing that. Now, what about the future? Many people today live in fear of what might happen. There are countless numbers of people who wake up each morning scared to death of what's going to happen. They're scared to death of what's going to happen tomorrow. And they are constantly in fear of the things that might happen. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Jesus talked about that. He talked about the futility of worrying about things over which we have no control. The futility of worry. And really what worry is a manifestation of a lack of faith, trust in God. That's what worry is. Fear of what might happen is a lack of faith in God. So that's why Jesus spent so much time dealing with that subject. Many are discontent. Philippians 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, I have learned to be content. He had to learn that. But he learned to be content with those things that he had. In Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 38. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about how even in persecution, even in trials, who am I to fear? If God is on our side, who can be against us, Paul says. We need to trust God. And we need to learn to be content with the things that we have. And know that God is on our side. God is for us. And God will always provide us with what we need. So don't be fearful about what might happen. Or don't be discontent with what we do not have. Let us always be content. And let us trust God. Again, discontentment is a manifestation of a lack of faith and trust in God. Many fail to prepare for the future. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Chapter 25 and verses 1 through 12, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were prepared, had enough oil for the lamps. The other 5 did not prepare. They did not have enough oil for their lamps. The lesson of the parable is this, be prepared. Well, how do we get prepared? We need to do today what we need to do for the Lord and serve Him today. And then tomorrow, when we get up, serve Him tomorrow. And when we get up the next day, we don't know whether that will be our last day. Today will be our last day. We don't know. So we need to prepare today for our future. our eternal future. In Acts the 25th chapter, in verses 1 through 12, as well as Acts chapter 24, there is a great danger of delay, of putting off until tomorrow. Now, Paul appealed to Caesar in verses 1 through 12 of Acts chapter 25, and he used the things that he had properly. And as you get over into chapter 26, he has the opportunity to preach to a king. You go back to chapter 24. In verse 25, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." That day was the day of salvation for Felix. Chapter 25, Festus turned away his ear from hearing the truth. Chapter 26, Agrippa was almost persuaded to be a Christian. Today is the day of salvation. And many fail to prepare for the future in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Those of you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope and I pray that the Lord will not take vengeance on you when He returns. And the way to avoid that, friend, is to take today. Prepare to meet the Lord. Time will be swallowed up in eternity at some point in time in the future. There is no question about that. So let us forget those things which are behind, and let us reach forward to those things which are ahead. And the things that the Apostle Paul was reaching for, they were not temporary crowns, friend. He was reaching for that eternal reward with God in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, let us seek after a city whose builder and maker is God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, knowing that all these things be destroyed, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holiness and conversation? How should you be living your life here on this earth, knowing that the world is going to be destroyed one of these days, and time is going to be swallowed up in eternity? Then there is no turning back. There is no changing your course. It's done. It's over. And wherever you lift your eyes, that is where you will be for all eternity. The past is getting longer for all of us. Every second that goes by, we have more in our past. More, by the way, to be held accountable for. Because we are going to be held accountable as to how we use our time. Our past time, we cannot live in sin. We cannot run with those who want us to do wrong things. We've done those things in the past. Let's turn away from those things. And let's serve the Lord. The present is today. And salvation is today. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. But today. And the future between now and eternity is growing shorter by the second. As the Apostle Paul says, today we are nearer to our salvation than we were. So time is growing short. Kenneth Laudy, in his book Tapping Your Potential, says our daily activities should not be expenditures of time. They should be investments. Now, who's looking at it from a business perspective? But friend, let me tell you something. That's a great, great quote to apply to a spiritual life. Every day should not be expenditures. We don't spend our time foolishly, I hope. But let us invest our time for the future. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. 2 Peter 3, verses 11 and 14, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. All that is not eternal is eternally useless. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You need to take that step to prepare for eternity. by obeying your Lord. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then this morning this is what you need to do. You need to turn away from sin. Put that in the past. Put it away from you. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ today as being the Son of God. And be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. And by virtue of that act, you enter into a relationship with God and with Christ Jesus. You are forgiven of your sins. You become a child of God with the hope of heaven. But then, of course, you must live today, you must live tomorrow, and you must continue to live for the Lord. Now, if you stumble along the way, certainly, right then, you need to stop, you need to confess, you need to turn away from that sin. And you know what? According to 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we can stand right in His sight and we can continue to serve Him. Do you know what? It's all about the future, isn't it? It's all about eternity with God. Do you want to be with God for all eternity? Well, I hope so. If I were to ask for a show of hands right now, for everyone who wanted to go to heaven when you died, I think everybody here would raise their hand and say, yes, they do. They want to go to heaven. They want to be with God for all eternity. But I also know this. Many people, in fact, perhaps even several in this audience this morning, will not be there. There is another alternative. Only one other alternative. And that is hell. For all eternity. And if you don't serve the Lord today and tomorrow and be found faithful when you die, hell will be your home for all eternity. That's the future, friend. That's what the Bible says about it. And I hope that you'll obey the Lord today while you have the opportunity to serve Him for the rest of your life. Won't you come if we can help you as together we stand and sing songs and selections.